Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The
game is off
the
play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio, or according to the update in WrestlingObserver.com, the Drunk Cast. And I'm joined by my co-host, Craig, today. What's going on, Craig?
Hello, everybody. How's things going? Going fine over here. Just a big suck it to Brian for today.
So the tsunami didn't get you guys?
No. Just had about 3-foot waves over here, and no, we're not under the sea. I'm not even a little bit of it. Some of those coastal towns could probably drift off to sea, and nobody would even know. But yeah, kind of a non-event around here. I feel bad for, of course, the people in Japan, and a little bit of destruction in California. But other than that, a pretty quiet day around the Northwest. It didn't even rain today.
What was that?
I said it didn't even rain today.
Oh, didn't it? Wow, Seattle, and it didn't rain. That's a freaking miracle.
Hey, well, you were here in July. You were here in July, and it doesn't rain all the time.
It was still kind of misty, but a lot of clouds. But anyway, we got our other co-host on the line, Katura. What's going on, Katura?
Konnichiwa.
Hi.
Well, at least he's getting more entertaining than his same old tire line. It was getting pretty old, just like Granny's. Anyway,
hey, you need to like stop doing stupid stuff with Granny, because then she knocks our show, and I don't like that.
Right. And I was fuming today at work.
Yeah, my feelings were very hurt by that. Like, she could lively up this show. Come on, she grinded to a grinding halt. But I still love Granny anyway. But
she's over.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, our big topic today is we're doing one of our topic shows, and our big topic today is about the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, a man who came back with one appearance, made the ratings go from a 3.1 to a 3.9 for like the last couple of weeks, and he hasn't even been there live since then. So I mean, that's basically what, 1 million people. His presence and maybe the chance that he'll be on TV is drawing people back. So, you know, the Rock's made a hell of a comeback, and it's just too bad that it's only a short time. But, Katura, what are your thoughts on The Rock coming back so far?
I've enjoyed it. I mean, you know, 7 years, that's a... I mean, we saw him at the Hall of Fame, and that was great, but, you know, 7 years to get, a real Rock appearance, and... Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be crazy to think that he's not the reason for the, you know, the ratings going up. So, I think it's been tremendous.
And Craig, what do you think?
Last time I saw The Rock was at the Hall of Fame ceremony, and actually missed part of it because, well, we were running on Brian Alvarez time. And if you know anything about Brian Alvarez time, it's about 15 minutes late. Anyway, yeah, it's nothing but good things with The Rock coming back. My son was watching the shows with me, as he has known to do, and he said, "Dad, who's the new guy?" And I said, "Son, that man has been around for a very long time." But anyway, I hope he can stick around for a little while after Mania. I'm hoping that he'll get a match out of John Cena, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I expect that if he just rolls over, or as Brian's fear is, you know, if he ends up just raising John Cena's hand at the end of Mania, I think there will be a lot of boos at the end of the evening.
I'm interested to see how it comes off. I don't know, I'm at the point where I don't even know what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what you can do. So, I don't know.
I agree.
Well, either way, no matter what they do, there's still going to be people bitching, because that's just what people on the internet do.
That's true.
But let's go back.
That myself, so.
Yeah. Well, let's go back in time to when the WWE started pushing this rookie that was coming in named Rocky Maivia, and what was he called? The Blue Chipper, right?
Yeah.
The Blue Chipper, Rocky Maivia. Now, you know, he looked impressive when he came in, but he was getting that big push, and he had that stupid blue fucking, I don't even know how to describe fucking
it was
or whatever the fuck it was. But
he
it was
wore
like
a,
it wore like
Darryl would wear when he was doing the music gimmick in WWF. He wore like a poncho. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, like a fucking turquoise blue fucking a poncho, but did you guys take to The Rock, or were you guys, did you guys, like, you know, automatically just, you know, how it was just pushed down our throats too much and just didn't like The Rock? Because I remember I really didn't care for the dude too much. I remember I fucking laughed my ass off when Mankind was beating him up in the Royal Rumble here in San Antonio. So what did you guys think when they first brought him in?
I will go first. I can remember vividly hating Rocky Maivia and his little curls on top of his head and his bad wrestling at first. And I remember being at a show in the Tacoma Dome, and myself and Mike Blinn, who reffed Brian and I's very first match, because we both had our very first match together against each other, and Mike Blinn was the referee. And if you say the name Mike Blinn, well, he dropped off the face of the earth, to be honest with you. But anyway, we were big ECW fans at the time, and watching Rocky wrestle, and he was wrestling Mick Foley. And we started an ECW-style chant. It was, "Shoot on Rocky, clap, 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 clap." You know what I mean? And we kept chanting over and over, and finally got a small reception or a small gathering of fans chanting "Shoot on Rocky," and hated the man. Hated.
Yeah.
What's Mick Foley going to do in his shoot? He's not no tough guy. He's just tough as
like
getting his ass kicked.
We were dumb marks, okay? Leave us alone.
Well, that's a good answer. Good chair.
Yeah, when he first came in, I mean, I think he'd kind of have to be a blind man to see that he didn't have something. I mean, you know, just the look. I mean, he just had the perfect look for WWF at the time. But, yeah, they pushed him a little too hard. I mean, they got him that first win at the Survivor Series like he was a survivor. But he was kind of in a match with a bunch of geeks, so it really didn't matter. And I was shocked when they put the Intercontinental title on him so quickly, because that was back when that title actually still meant a little bit. And he went through the dreaded Sultan at WrestleMania that year. And that's just like asking people not to cheer for you to see a match like that. And he lost to Owen Hart, and I think he got knocked out of action with some kind of an injury, and he came back with the Nation, and that's really where he started to blossom as a performer.
I
I can say that when he came in, he looked impressive. Don't get me wrong. But the presentation, and you said it best, Couturier, rammed down our throats. I think that's why I hated him so much.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to see when a guy's getting pushed too soon. Like, it's like, we really want you to like this guy. Please cheer for him. You know, kind of a push.
Exactly.
And he always had that really fucking big-ass smile when he was rocking my Maivia. And it just, it was almost annoying that he was like, he was trying too damn hard to be a babyface and be loved. And
I went on YouTube and looked back, and I was, because I'd never actually seen him as Flex Cavana in the USWA, so I went back and checked out a couple of those matches and promo, and it's like flabbergasted me that this is the same person today that it was back in the USWA back in 1997. It's just amazing.
Well, that was a long time ago. But speaking of Flex Cavana, let me tell a story. I know I've told this story before, quite a while back, but there's actually new info that somebody filled me in on. Is when they had the Rumble here, they had like a party before at a nightclub, and one of the wrestlers they had was The Rock, and they had the original Double J, Jesse James, the Road Dogs, and then they had Shawn Michaels. Well, that was the year Shawn Michaels was the number one guy on the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500. So there was this one really nerdy-looking, geeky kid there who had it, and he got Shawn to sign it. And then he went and he got Road Dogg to sign it. And that 500, Road Dogg actually had a picture, and the picture was him kicking Jeff Jarrett's ass. So he got all excited, and he signed it, and he's like, yeah, check it out, you know, badass picture and this and that. And Rocky walks by, and he's like, he's wearing this fucking bright-ass purple suit. And, I mean, he looked cool as shit, but it was, like, fucking bright purple. And this is when he's still Rocky Maivia. And he's like, oh, let me see that. If you're that high, I forgot what Road Dogg was, but he was, like, 100 and something, maybe 200 and something. He's like, I got to be in there. So he starts going through the whole list, and he can't find Rocky Maivia. So he goes through the whole list again. And he can't find Rocky Maivia. So he fucking still goes for like a third time. And he's like, what the fuck? You know, why ain't I in here? And he was all, it's like it ruined his day. He was like sad for like the next half hour. But the thing is, he was in there. He was under fucking Flex Cavana. I forgot what number he was, but I guess he forgot he was fucking Flex Cavana that year.
Yeah, because that magazine came out like in the summer, right? When he was still in USWA.
It might have. I don't remember exactly when, but I just remember it was the Shawn Michaels one. But yeah, I mean, that's probably what happened, you know. But I just remember, like, it was pretty cool. I got to talk to him for a few minutes and stuff. And I just remember they always told him to stay away from the camera because he was wrestling on Raw. It was a taped Raw. So every time they did a cut, they made sure he wasn't around. But at the very end, He somehow walks into the frame or something, and then when I watched the tape, when I got home, I played it, and you hear Jerry Lawler go, is that The Rock? And I thought that was pretty funny. But, Couture, go ahead, and since I just told, like, a memory of The Rock, why don't you give one of your favorite memories of The Rock?
One of my favorite memories of The Rock. Okay, this was, like, right when... This was after he turned heel. It was in late 97 when he started the program with Austin over the Intercontinental title. And I really think this is where he really got to develop his heel persona, was with the stuff with Austin. I mean, I think this really, really helped him get over as a heel, doing the stuff with Austin at the end of the year. And Rock had stolen the Intercontinental title belt from Austin. And he was in the ring. And then Austin comes up like on the big screen. And they're doing this promo back and forth. And I remember it was so awesome, like, the week before, because Austin drove his black truck in there, back in black, into the arena. And I just remember that being so awesome. But he was doing this promo, and he said, all you need to know, Rock, is when you see the 316 in your beeper, then you know you're about to get an ass whooping. And then the interview ends, and then all of a sudden Rock's beeper goes off. He looks at it and gives this shocked expression on his face, and all of a sudden Austin's in there beating the shit out of him. I saw 316 in his paper.
Yeah, that
you know
was
how many
funny.
People in
that.
You know how many people in my lifetime I texted them 316 just to see the reaction on their face. Okay, maybe not. Anyway, I feel weird,
Craig,
talking about
like
Banquet Con with people.
Mark, dude, I swear to God.
What's that?
I said you're like the world's biggest
back
mark.
Around, back to the to when people still have beepers. It's weird talking about that.
Right. My buddy Bill and I, we both wrestling fans, and we worked together, and you know, when I got there in the morning, I texted him on my phone, 316 on his beeper, and it went off, and he looked at it, and he looks up, and I was right behind him, and anyway, fake punched him in the back of the head. Anyway.
Oh, you should have gave him a center.
Yeah, next time I'll do that, and then spit coffee in his face, because it was early.
But what's your favorite rock memory, Craig?
Very favorite rock memory would have to be the This Is Your Life segment with Mick Foley. I've never seen two guys give so much out of so very little. And, you know, everybody down from his high school prom date to teachers to just phenomenal stuff. These guys went out there and riffed. You know, how can you memorize, you know, 35 minutes of material? You know what I mean?
One of the biggest reactions, like, to something on Raw was me and my friends, we had a house and we were watching Raw, and when he hit that Poontang Pie line, we just died. It was still one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Now, I take it we don't have any drops for this evening, Katrina?
Yeah,
we do. I'm going to play one in a second, but let me go in on as far as This Is Your Life segment. What does anybody remember what Brian and Dave's reaction was to an over 20-minute skit of just talking? Did they like it at the time?
Horrified.
Did they not like it?
No, they were probably horrified.
I'm pretty sure Brian was into it, to be honest with you. I don't think he's ever said a bad word about The Rock.
They probably said it went a little bit too long for me.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, like, because I remember it was like, it's like they almost did that to spite the internet, because at the time, that's when they were opening Raw with like a big, you know, interview. And
20-minute
like, people were kind of bitching. Yeah, people were bitching. And then the next thing you know, they do that. And it's like one of the highest rated Raw segments of all time and stuff. So.
I think maybe it was like either the one or the first or second like highest rated like rating for like a segment like that of all time. I think maybe the other one was like Austin against the Undertaker or something like that. I can't remember, but yeah.
But speaking of clips, this is probably one of my very favorite moments of The Rock. So let's.
Welcome.
Somewhat self-serving, yes, me.
Welcome. First ever evening with The Rock.
Look at the ring there. Look at the
Rock in concert. The Rock feels so good. He's so happy. Why? Because The Rock is right here in Sacramento.
Oh! Sacramento.
Stumping up the crowd now.
I tell you what. The absolute best part about being here in Sacramento is in about an hour and a half, The Rock is going to leave Sacramento. No better song to start off the show with. Leaving Sacramento. Sacramento, there I go. Leaving Sacramento. Sacramento, there I go. They got some fat ass women there, and Rock is gonna just say no. Well, I might take a plane, I might take a train. How do you people live here? You must be insane. I'm leaving Sacramento. Sacramento, I won't stay. Check this out. But I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings and Nets. I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings and
Nets. And that's number one with a bullet.
Oh, no, wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
Ross is jealous.
Wait a minute. Hey, hey. Don't get mad at The Rock because The Rock's good friend Shaquille O'Neal called him the Sacramento Queens, now. Okay, we got to move this show along. We might be running out of time. Hold on. Austin, that was for you. I'll tell you what, if you can see The Rock, you can hear The Rock. The Rock's got a special song, Austin, just for you. Check this out. Here we go.
Listen, Austin, don't roll your windows up.
You ain't nothing but a redneck.
Oh.
Crying all the time.
Oh, man.
You ain't nothing but a redneck. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't gonna beat The Rock. Your candy ass is mine.
Oh, my God. What a great song.
Well, if you think you're gonna beat The Rock, your bald ass must be high. You like that, Austin? I told you, you can't mix beer with them funny cigarettes. They don't mix beer, you know that. Hey, show me Austin. Get Austin up on the screen. What are you doing, Austin? Austin, what? Get Austin up on that screen.
Get Austin up.
What are you doing? Hey. We out there selling bootleg T-shirts of The Rock. $5.
There he is.
Hey, I tell you what. What's on that T-shirt? A picture of The Rock going in, just giving you the stunner. Hey, check this out. I'll tell you what. There's one man who The Rock plays with who signed the guitar. His name is Willie Nelson.
Oh.
And here's a special song, Austin, just for you. Willie Nelson style. Here we go. Whip your ass again. The Rock can't wait to whip Austin's ass again. The life I love is whipping Stone Cold's candy ass. And I can't wait to whip Austin's ass again.
Oh, man.
Here we go again. No, The Rock can't wait to whip your bald candy ass again.
Wow, this is great.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Listen, check this out. I said, here we go. This is the very last song. It's a very special song. And what The Rock wants you to do is show some respect and keep it down, baby. Keep it down.
Shut up.
And Austin, I want you to pay special attention to this song, Austin. Special attention. Here we go. Hey, keep it down.
Turn those speakers up in the parking lot.
All right.
This is serious one.
And now, with mania near, The Rock will face the final curtain. Stone Cold, one-on-one, I'll win the match, of that I'm certain. I've lived like a fool. I can get pie and get it all day. Much more than any of you. Rock did it Rock way. Hey, well, I'm not done. Yes, hold your applause.
There's more.
Yes, there was time. Hold your applause. Austin had fun when he beat the great one. But all that is deep is in the past, and now Austin can kiss The Rock's ass.
What's the applause?
Check this out. I will be bold and beat Stone Cold and do it Rock's way.
Oh, my God, this is great. Stand up there. Standing ovation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was awesome. I actually kind of cut short. There was a little more to that where Austin came into the arena. And it's hilarious because The Rock starts to call out the police to come out. And the people start to boo because he's asking for the cops. And The Rock's all, oh, the cops, sir, you're cops.
These clips were kind of long, so I edited them as I thought they need to be edited. So.
Oh, that's fine.
Good, thank you.
But yeah,
I love that heel run in 2003. That was awesome. He was such a great heel back then.
Yeah, it was awesome, and that's when he started to show his more talent set, where he could actually sing. And let's be honest, I mean, The Rock's actually one hell of a singer.
I believe The Rock can do anything if given the chance. I saw him, they did something like after one of the shows with Booker T and asked Rock to do a spinaroni, and he did a picture-perfect spinaroni, like first time he's ever probably done one.
I was just thinking about another thing that I absolutely died. They were in Charleston, North Carolina, and The Rock was doing a interview with the coach. And he was being nice to the coach, you know, well, he was calling him Hermie and stuff like that. But he then said, hey, coach, can you dance the Charleston? And the coach is like, no, I can't dance the Charleston. Come on, coach. The Rock knows you can dance the Charleston. And finally, the coach puts down the mic he hands the mic to Rock, and he starts to actually dance the Charleston. And then just totally over-exaggerated, The Rock picks up his boot, and he says, get your monkey up, and he kicks him out of the picture. And the coach falls and flies, and then The Rock cuts a promo on insert name of heel here, but that was just phenomenal.
Him and Coach had good chemistry. I mean, the coach is just a perfect foil for The Rock to just lay into him and make him look stupid. And
he made Kevin Kelly a star.
Oh, yeah, that's true. What did he call Kevin Kelly?
He called him Hermie. Right? Yeah, called him Hermie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And speaking of him, The Rock, you know, messing with other people, he used to always fuck with Lillian Garcia. I remember that one time where he asked her if she wanted to try the Rock strudel.
Right. Yes. <Yeah. laughs>
And then he was all, yes, Rock.
And then he goes, what's wrong with you? You're a married woman.
It was just great. I mean, he probably is the great. I mean, you can always argue Ric Flair and maybe Dusty Rhodes, Austin, a few people. But honestly, I think the best promo of all time has to go to The Rock. I mean, he was just fucking perfect. And
I've never seen anybody that can hold a crowd in the palm of his hand like The Rock could, and just control them.
And he didn't have to be in front of the front of the audience.
He didn't have to be live. You know?
Well, like, they used to do it where he'd be in the dressing room, and they'd be so fucking loud you could hear him. I mean, I'm sure it's mic'd a little bit, but I'm sure, like, you could really actually hear the crowd going crazy when he would say something in the locker room to get him going or get him to chanting. And, I mean, he didn't have to be in front. He could have been, like, in a building fucking 100 feet below everybody and still have everybody just in the palm of his hand.
That was one thing about him because you know, people were always doing pre-tapes. Rock always made the point of he demanded all his stuff be done live so he could interact with the audience and stuff like that.
And he was good. I mean, he always had the perfect time. He always knew when to let it, you know, let the chant grow or let it, like, you know, he let them go. He wouldn't come off. I mean, he took full advantage of every second, you know, that he was out there.
And if something different happened, like with the crowd chant, he could get into it and, you know, like ad-lib and do his own stuff with it and make it work.
Yeah, like I remember the first time he ever said, you know, when he starts to do the if you smell and then everyone's saying that and he's like, this is a sing along with The Rock. The Rock says it by his damn self. Yeah.
One of the best moments I thought was, and this was one of the first big swerves that actually got me was that Survivor Series 1998 when they had the big title tournament for the vacant WWF title. And remember
that?
I
love that show.
He laid out Vince McMahon and gave him the people's elbow. And this was at a point where, I don't know, the crowd just, they finally got tuned into The Rock, and he was like just over like son of a bitch at the time. And, you know, he goes through the tournament. He beats like the Big Boss Man. He beats
Ken Shamrock.
And then he goes into with Mankind, who is like supposed to be against some guy in the finals. And then
who defeated the awesome fucking pay-per-view debut of fucking Dwayne Gill. Fucking one of the greatest moments of all time.
Yeah, and they had a really awesome match, and finally Rock goes for the sharpshooter, and he gives McMahon the people's elbow, and he puts the sharpshooter on, and Vince calls for the bell. I said, holy shit, what the fuck just happened? I mean, they got me on that one. I totally didn't see it coming. And I thought, you know, a lot of people, they don't like the Montreal finish when it was used after the Bret Shawn thing. I thought this was an instance where it worked perfectly.
And it also set up an awesome run as Mick Foley becoming the super over babyface, you know, because he was like, for the next few weeks, he still kind of was like McMahon's little lackey. And then he just slowly, slowly, you know, became a face. And McMahon just being a dick to him when he's trying to be nice to him.
Yeah, and then eventually he beat him for the title right there on Raw. That was a huge moment. You ever saw Mick Foley becoming the WWF champion at that time?
Well, Eric Bischoff did.
That's right.
Eric Bischoff did because he told everybody to go watch it instead of watching his shitty show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tony Giovanni says, we understand Mick Foley's going to win the world title tonight. Huh, that'll put asses in the seats. Well, it did. And it helped even better because he said that.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, that's like one of the all-time just great, stupid moments in pro wrestling. I mean, just something about pro wrestling, there's a lot of stupidity or stupid moments, and that was
one
of them.
One thing about Mick Foley back then, you know, pretty much everybody loved that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just all the stuff they had done with him. I mean, this was after he had come off the cage and stuff. I mean, how could you not like the guy after that? It's like impossible.
Right.
And for him to get the world title was like a huge deal.
And speaking of Mick Foley, one of my favorite, since we're going to start talking about matches here in a moment, I guess I'll start it off. One of my favorite matches, and I know some people would say there was some stupid shit in it, but one of my favorite matches is the Super Bowl halftime MC Arena match.
Yeah,
where
him
and Foley had this awesome fucking brawl, this awesome intense fucking brawl with comedy spots throughout the whole fucking thing. It was fucking awesome. I mean, The Rock was up when he started. Didn't he, like, grab the camera or, like, start trying to do, like, commentary or something? And
wasn't Vince
the
one doing commentary on the thing? I think Vince was the only commentator or something, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, you had the two perfect guys that could pull off a match like that. You know, just do all the wacky bumps and, you know, do all the wacky stuff in the back, like with the popcorn. And then with the, I thought the finish was tremendous with the forklift on top of him.
Have you guys picked up Jericho's book yet?
No.
I haven't.
I got it in the mail finally this last week, and I'm about 7 chapters in, but as I was perusing through the book, Jericho was on with Brian and Dave last week, and he was talking about the matches Jericho had with The Rock, and they would steal fans' cameras and then take pictures of each other, and then it became an ongoing thing where they would try to get the wackiest picture of each other. And it was a contest like that. And two of the pictures actually made it into the book. And the one of Jericho is amazing because he's up against the dashboards and he somehow managed to shove his finger up his nose before The Rock snapped a photo of him. That's tremendous. But the one of The Rock, he's just got this this amazingly distorted face, you know, just kind of a picture of him that Jericho took of The Rock, and oh my gosh, what fun those two must have had doing those matches. Just great stuff.
They had great chemistry together.
Absolutely. Just,
I mean, that first segment when Jericho debuted, which is still one of the best debuts I've ever seen in Chicago, with The Rock was in the ring and the countdown, and they flashed Jericho up on the big screen, and the crowd just went fucking apeshit. And, that was an awesome segment.
That was awesome because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, in WCW, he was just a mid-carder who they treated like a joke. And then he let it, you know, he kind of let all that speculation go on the internet. So the internet was going to, is he resign? Is he going to go? And the internet kind of made it kind of a thing. And then when he was going to debut, enough people knew it was him to where there was chance right before. But when he came out, it was like, it's like you just, in an instant, you saw a guy go from low-level mid-carder to fucking main eventer in a flash,
yeah.
In just a flash. And then, you know, just the awesome interaction with The Rock, and when The Rock cut him off with the it doesn't matter who you are, that was fucking awesome. And
you talk about your Y2J plan. I got the KY jelly plan for you.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But they had great chemistry. But him and Foley, to me, they had the best chemistry. I mean, The Rock and Talk Connection.
It was during the point where Foley and The Rock, it was late 99, and they had broken up for some reason. And I think, like, didn't Al Snow find Foley's book in the trash or something and said it was a book that he gave The Rock? And
yeah, that's right. Like, I remember that.
Yeah, that was right before Al Snow turned heel, because he was the one that threw the book in the trash. And Mick Foley's, like, back there with Al Snow trying to talk to The Rock, and said, and he said, Rock said, Al? Who was Al? No, The Rock is not doing autographs today. Thank you very much, Al, but you're dismissed. And he's even funnier today since, you know, I don't like Al Snow. So, but, yeah.
Yeah, you're a good friend, Al Snow. But speaking of Mick Foley, okay, we got to talk. I'll bring up my second match, because I actually didn't make a list, and I'm sure you guys made a whole bunch of them. But second match is one we got to talk about, because it's one of the most disturbing things, probably, especially now with all the concussion bullshit that's going on. You know, fucking, what was it? Was it the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, it was Royal Rumble 99.
Yeah, Royal Rumble fucking I Quit match. And it's awesome. It's what's even more awesome than the match that was on pay-per-view is that this whole fucking thing was captured on the documentary Beyond the Mat, which I think I've seen probably 500 fucking times. And because Foley's wife and two small children are right there in like front or second row, and they have a camera on them the whole time. And they basically show them every time. You can hear the whack in the background, and you see the wife just freaking out, and the kids crying, and then she has to take off, and then just Rock just fucking kept just knocking the shit out of The Rock, and for some goddamn reason, Mankind just kept getting up and fucking taking more, like that one series of three shots in a row real quick. That was fucking just devastating. And then finally, like, Foley pretty much collapsed, and then they have the recording of Foley saying I quit, that and then it's the match. But then they show in the documentary where they're stitching him up, and he's all bloody, and the kids are finally calmed down a little bit, and, you know, talking about boo boos and stuff, big boo boos.
Darren Drozdov coming in and saying, "Mick, you're the fucking man," like right there in front of his wife and children. He says, "That's a bad timing."
And we didn't know that
it happened until like a year later when that movie came out. We didn't know at the time the kids were there.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, that's the match. I mean, it was a brutal match just seeing it on pay-per-view, but then when you see everything from the documentary, I mean, it's just fucking, it's just, that's one of the, I mean, beyond the, I love that documentary because they just captured just some perfect shit, you know, and that was just one of the perfect things that they just happened to catch and be a part of the show. And I'm glad McMahon wasn't able to stop him from using it, because, I mean, that's it's just an awesome fucking, the whole thing was just incredible. What did you think of that whole match, Greg?
It was just a brutal match, as I remember. You know, we were watching it in my living room, myself and Brian was over, and when they, you know, after about the fifth chair shot, Brian started counting. And just good night. And he, you know, he cracked him open, you know, with the chair, you know, even through the mask. And I pretty uncomfortable watching that, to be honest with you. And
that match made Helen Dale look safer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just, you know, talk about scrambled brains. I mean, just a brutal beating. And
okay, you felt like that after the match. How did you feel after you saw fucking Beyond the Mat?
I got a peek inside of my own wife's head as she used to come to watch me wrestling. You know what I mean? I was like, I wonder if my wife feels this way when I'm out there wrestling. Kind of humbling. Kind of felt weird, to be honest with you.
When I saw Beyond the Mad, it made me feel bad for liking that match.
Exactly. Yeah, I shouldn't have liked that match because some daddy got his brain scrambled and now forgets things and, you know, how his face, you know, doesn't contort from seizures, I have no idea.
He had a fucking pussy on his fucking forehead after that match.
Okay. Or it could have been a cut.
When they fucking pulled it open, I mean, it looked like a freaking vagina. I mean, that thing was fucking huge. But what's interesting is I never noticed it during the match, but he was favoring his forehead during the match. But in the documentary, you see that he's messing with it before the match also, and it really becomes noticeable that thing was already cut open. And I guess it was just like a prearranged prop or something, you know what I mean, that for it to bust on time. No, I mean, go back and watch the documentary. You will see him fucking with that thing the whole time before the match starts.
That cut looked like the guy on the Ultimate Fighter that one year that had that big cut on his head. Where he could just, like, see into it.
Yeah, it was fucking huge. It was, like, 2 inches open. I mean, it was disgusting. And then another thing about the documentary, it really makes Rock look like a fucking jackass because they show Foley having to go find The Rock and talk about the match. And then, you know, The Rock's like, yeah, you know, great match. But he never even bothers to ask, hey, I hope I didn't kill any brain cells or anything. You know, he kind of joked about it a little bit after Foley kind of brought it up sarcastically.
He brought that up in his second book, that The Rock did come to check on him or something like that. And I don't know what, you know, maybe that was, I think it's probably just an oversight on The Rock's part. Not really anything like malicious or anything. He didn't care, you know, just like, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they worked it out. But I mean, really, at the time, and then if you listen to like the documentary with the commentary, you can hear Foley kind of talk about it, and you know, he explains why he was upset, and I think that's pretty cool. But I mean, that was just one of the memories, you know, matches that I really remember. So. Craig, go ahead and pick out one of your favorite matches with The Rock.
Hey, have we got a caller on the line? Do you want to take it or not?
Oh, we do? Oh, I'm looking at the switchboard. All right, we got a caller on the line, and they're calling from probably Skype or a computer line. Who's this?
This is Rabbi. How you guys doing?
Hey, up, you're still alive. You survived the freaking earthquake, man. How's it going?
That's right. Yeah, that was 200 miles away from me. That was in the northern eastern part of Japan, and I'm in the central area. And yeah, I'm alive. I'm still kicking. I'm kicking out of 2 counts, 3 counts, all that. I'm still alive.
Now, you said you're 200 miles away. What did you feel? I mean,
I felt like a 5. And I'm from California, so I've been through 7s and stuff, you know, the 89 quake, the Battle of the Bay. I've been through that. But it was still pretty damn scary because this earthquake was long. I mean, 4 minutes, 5 minutes of shaking, and then when it calms down, it's still kind of quaking. It was long.
Wow, man. Well, glad you're all right. I mean, how much damage, or any damage done, like as far as buildings collapsing or shit like that, well, where you were at?
In my area, no, but I work as an English teacher teaching in schools, and I think I saw a lot of broken hearts and some tears rolling down kids' faces, but yeah, that was pretty tough. But in my apartment, nothing, you know, no broken TVs, nothing really. The stuff on the floor.
No power outages?
No, not in my area, but trains weren't moving, stuff like that. But you guys are talking about The Rock, right? The Rock.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of The Rock using the sharpshooter when he started doing that because he's big and he's not the size of Bret Hart. I was not a fan of The Rock using the sharpshooter. Just thought I'd put that in there.
Hmm.
Well, just because it looked goofy or looked weird.
It took a lot of time putting it on too.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, he did put it on pretty slow. I remember that.
I'll let you go. Okay, talk to you later. Have a nice day.
We're glad that everything's all right down there.
All right, later.
Cool.
Wow, I
feel bad for keeping him hold so long now.
Holy crap, man. The guy was just in a huge earthquake, and he's calling in about the Rock. What a trooper.
He's calling over the top radio, for God's sake.
No kidding. Go tend to your family, dude. Jeez.
I was listening to Brian and Vinny when they posted it early this morning, so then I turned on the news because I didn't even know about it. And I was watching it, and it looked like whatever that movie that came out last year, 2011. 2012.
Whatever.
2012. Whenever we're all supposed to die, or we're all supposed to blow up or something. And that's what it looked like, kind of with the waves, and you could see all the debris from the buildings and stuff like that. It was just incredible.
Yeah, the way I heard about it is, I got out of UPS, so I drove to the warehouse to get my newspapers, and as soon as I leave there, I start the show, if it's on time. Sometimes I have to wait till I'm like halfway through before they finally post it, but I turn it on, and that's the first thing they're talking about, the earthquake and the tsunami and all that stuff, and I was like, oh, wow, that's a trip, man. But it's pretty fucked up, the whole situation, but
they probably thought it was Godzilla.
They might have. I mean, that was fucking some crazy shit, but luckily, and it really seems like a miracle is, like, I'm sure the toll has gone up higher, but at the time, last I heard, from like the Brian Vinny show, that just 5 people were confirmed dead at the time. I mean, that's pretty fucking amazing.
Well, they must have heard like right when they started recording or something like that.
It's a lot more than that now.
Well, they must put a lot of hard work into their buildings, because if that shit happened here in America, California, everything's going to crumble to the ground with all this shoddy work that's been done here.
Okay.
Just look at New Orleans.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But let's go ahead and steer back into the topic of
the
Rock.
Let's play another clip.
That's what I was about to do. We're about to play one of my favorite angles of all time. And where The Rock actually made a mid-carder a superstar for a few weeks until Hunter decided to make him back into a mid-carder.
God almighty.
But let's play the clips here.
Holy hypocrite! Just last week, you challenged Stone Cold Steve Austin to meet you face to face. And yet this week, you got Eric Bischoff and his criminal committee doing all your dastardly work. What's up with that? How long have you been sitting in there? Watching The Rock all night long to walk around here naked? No, don't answer that. No, don't answer that. Tell you what. The Rock's glad you're here. The Rock's glad you're here because I wanted to talk to you. The Rock, he was going to go looking for you. Do you remember last week when you came waltzing in to The Rock's locker? You remember that? Yeah. And you talked about how the Hurricane could just whip the Scorpion King's ass. Yeah, you remember that? And you also talked about how the Hurricane is going to toss The Rock over the top rope. Remember that? Well, if The Rock's memory serves him correctly, it was The Rock that tossed your little hamburger or monkey ass right over the top rope. Remember that? Maybe with all your friends, you had Grimace and Mayor McCheese, Ronald McDonald, all of them. Yeah. Remember that? More importantly than that, when The Rock tossed you over the top rope, he was screaming something. The Rock was screaming something very important in your ear. Do you remember what The Rock was screaming? I remember you screaming. But it was when Booker T threw your ass over the top rope that you were screaming. Like this. Don't do that. No, none of that. Hey, stop cheering. And it didn't throw. No, it didn't. You hear The Rock? He didn't throw. No, Booker T didn't throw The Rock over the top rope. The Rock tripped over the top rope. That's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened. Oh, The Rock said that's what happened. Let the Rock remind you of something. Let The Rock remind you of something. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. You ain't no superhero. Not like the Scorpion King. You're 100 pounds and nothing. 5 feet, nothing. Oh, excuse The Rock 1 second. Excuse The Rock. His cell phone's going off. Oh, yeah. Kyle, hello. Hey, it's nothing. He says he knows you. You're nothing. don't laugh at The Rock jokes. Says you're nothing. You're not. Hey, as a superhero, you've got braces. You've got braces. What are you going to do? The president of student council? Is that what you're going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to go sell band candy after the show? Get your little hamburger green monkey ass out of. Before you go fly out and you do all that unrealistic crap, I'm going to remind you of something. The Rock, when he threw you over the top rope, he was saying to you, he was screaming to you. He was screaming to you, he said, hey, the greatest line a superhero has ever said, the Scorpion King, he said, Haku Machente Da. Haku Machente Da. Do you remember that? Do you have any idea what that means? Do you have any idea? Can you fathom how enormous that is? Do you know what Haku Machente means?
Well, apparently, from what I saw behind that curtain, it means the Scorpion King got a tiny violin.
No! No! No, it's not. Hey, oh! I mean, there's a reason they call The Rock The Rock. Oh, yeah. Easy, big fella. Oh, yeah. No! No! Stop laughing!
Is that okay? That was awesome. That was awesome. I remember. I mean, I was always a fan of the Hurricane. I mean, he was the standout of the three count in the dying days of WCW. And when he came over, and I think it was just kind of by accident he became the Hurricane. It was because the Stone Cold saw his tattoo and made a comment, and then the next thing you know, he slowly became a superhero. And he was always a good comedy act, and then when he did this program with The Rock, I mean, it was like, a 3-week program, and The Rock even put him over. I mean, Stone Cold distracted The Rock, but, you know, Hurricane still got the clean pin with the roll-up from behind, and just that one of the best, to me, one of the best angles that they ever did, and making a guy and elevating him in just 3 weeks. Anybody?
Well, it's nice to say they elevated him, but it's still the Hurricane.
Right. Well, he might be a drunken fool on his podcast and, you know, might rambling and is trying to start shit now. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I was a super, super Hurricane Mark back in the day. And I just remember
He wasn't ever going to go any further than he was. I don't think.
Well, it could have lasted longer than like 5 weeks before Hunter had to fucking make him look like a joke.
Well, you may be right. I mean, if he wouldn't have lost to Hunter, he may very well be the WWE champion today.
Well, he wouldn't have been a champion, but I mean, he could have got a little more out of it. But, you know, Hunter,
I like
had
the shit
fucking
team with him and Rosie. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But, I mean, what did you think of that angle, Craig?
The angle is great, and it doesn't matter, you know, who you put in with The Rock. It could be Stone Cold. It could be the lowly Hurricane. Rock's going to get everything out of the guy. You know, he's gold, man.
That's one thing I will say about The Rock. He's got no problem, like, being in a statement with somebody or even putting somebody over, no matter who it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he did job after job after job. And, you know, when they say wins and losses don't matter, when it comes to The Rock, it don't matter. You know, he could lose a million times. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no kidding. I remember he put Ken Shamrock over as like a babyface and a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he really, he had good matches with Shamrock. I thought they had like some good chemistry in their matches. I mean, I always thought Shamrock was better than some people give him credit for. But I enjoyed their matches.
One of the matches that I thought was just like awesome, just watching on TV, just the heat was incredible. It was in February of 2000 in Dallas, and it was The Rock and Cactus Jack and Too Cool and Rikishi against Triple H, X-Pac, and I think it was Benoit, Malenko, and Saturn in a 10-man tag team match. And the heat for that match was just like off the charts. And
this was
when they left WCW, and like people were saying, no, well, they're going to go to WWF and get squashed, and this and that, and they were saying they didn't have any drawing power. This match drew an 8.1 rating, one of the highest ever. It was an awesome match.
Yeah,
isn't
that
crazy to hear
8.1?
Isn't it crazy to hear 8.1 talking about wrestling right now? That's,
I mean, with The Rock's back, we're barely about to break up 4.0.
Right.
Well,
it's double what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And this is an up year.
I just think there's going to be a hard truth, like maybe a few weeks after The Rock's gone. I think that, I don't know.
Well, that happens regardless. That happens regardless. I mean, you know, they have this momentum and then they climax with WrestleMania, but it never keeps the ratings up. The ratings always go down after WrestleMania. This is just their peak time. This is their hot period, and as soon as Mania is over, within a few weeks,
I personally think
the
3.9 this past week was more due to JBL, but, you know, that's just me.
JBL was awesome. I'll never forget when he threw Rudy Boy Gonzalez back into the river. That was fantastic. But once you guys start picking out the matches, Couture, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Okay, I'll go with The Rock and Triple H in the Iron Man match at Judgment Day 2000 with Shawn Michaels as a referee. I thought this was an awesome match. And you actually got to see like more wrestling from both guys, but mostly, I mean, more The Rock is not what I would call, I mean, he didn't have like a specific type of offense. It was mostly kick and punch if you go back and look at it. But you'll rarely see anybody say The Rock was a bad worker. Whoever he was in the ring with, he could adapt to. And, I mean, just have an awesome match. And this match with Triple H, an Iron Man match, they got to wrestle for an hour, and it was just, I thought it was a tremendous match.
Now, which one did you like better, that one or the ladder match?
I like the Iron Man match better.
Really?
I like the ladder match just because of the, the violence.
Yeah, I think I like the ladder match just a little better, but, I mean, they were both good.
The ladder match didn't have Shawn Michaels refereeing in his grape-smuggling shorts.
That's right.
Oh, man.
That's right.
That was pretty funny. But
that was when The Undertaker returned with the American Badass persona.
Yeah. But one thing I was going to say, we were talking about The Rock being a good worker. The Rock, Rocky was also very smart because, and not every one of them, because he did have some, he was in some great matches on Raw, but most of his Raw matches were pretty damn safe. I mean, he really didn't do anything. I mean, he was able to control the crowd and you know, have a lot of heat and stuff for the match, but you know, he really didn't do anything. I mean, it was just kick and punch, and really didn't take any, like, really super bumps, but was still
able
to have...
He was such a good showman, he didn't have to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he didn't have to do... He's like Hulk Hogan, you know, he didn't have to...
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that, and, you know, and, I mean, he was just fantastic, and, you know, that's probably why he's... You know, I mean, he had that one injury during the one movie that kind of fucked him up, but, I mean... You know, he's in a lot better shape than he would be had he gone all out like Austin. And I mean, look at Austin. I mean, he can, by the end, he had both knee braces and then his neck was all fucked up. And
by the end, Austin looked like a walking wheelchair.
Yeah, because Austin never really kind of took the night. I mean, he always worked hard at like the same pace, no matter what match it was. But Rocky was able to have the ability to, you know, slow it down a lot more. But That was pretty cool. Craig, why don't you pick a match?
This one, you guys aren't going to think it was the best match of all time, and it really wasn't the best match of all time, but it was a match I was there live for. It was Stone Cold's last match against The Rock at WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, Washington. And it was just, I have fond memories of it, number one, because I was there, and number two was Stone Cold's probably last match. And I just thought it was a good technically sound match. You know what I mean? Nothing flashy, nothing fancy. It was just a good match. And like I said, probably the last time we'll ever see Stone Cold in the ring.
And now, thing about Stone Cold, you know, during that whole, you know, all those years he feuded with Rock, I think this was like the one time the Rock beat him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the tag match of Survivor Series, but really, I mean, just in a single match, this is the one time that the Rock beat him, and that's just a case of, you know, Austin, I think, helped get him over a lot when he was younger, you know, as a big star. And that's a case of, you know, Rock doesn't have to actually beat Steve Austin to have Steve Austin put him over. He just gets over by working with him.
Right.
Exactly. Is this the one where the build-up, the big build-up before the match, they were both seeing Margaritaville?
That was a Survivor Series.
I think our guest is on the line. So Craig, why don't you do your job and introduce our guest?
Is this Dave Lagana or is this DC Sniper?
Lagana.
Oh hey Dave, how's it going? I'm just ribbing Ed.
I like DC Sniper, the guy on Twitter. I like him.
Yeah, sure. He's on Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. Delirious showed me his Twitter one day, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. So,
yeah, he almost made me want to get on Twitter, but I was able to hold out. But there's a thread, the whole thread based on it, on Brian's site about his Twitter. But anyway, Dave, how are you doing tonight? I guess Craig didn't bother to make an intro.
It's all right. After the first one, the last two have been spectacular. So, how are we, guys?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I've been at my desk for like 3 weeks straight, just doing 110 different things. So it's good to still be at my desk and not working for the moment. So,
man. Well, speaking of, you say you're doing a lot of work. I mean, seems like you got like an audio show coming out every day at your website. I've heard the majority of them. They're all pretty good, even though except for that one where you interviewed that one jobber.
Don't talk about Sam Ford that way. Sam Ford's a lovely gentleman.
I'll talk about Brian Alvarez.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to put you and Brian, and you guys will, for 15 minutes, I'll have you guys just insult each other. How about that?
Sounds fine to me. I already defeated him once in a debate.
Brian can pick out his braid and they can start even.
Now, the audio is a lot of fun. You know, I think it's because I've done shows like this. It's been, you know, it's fun to do, just have good conversations. Because you guys, we don't really do interviews. We just kind of all talk here, which is kind of what I try to do. Because I've been on some shows. I was on some show. They had me on for 2 hours. I had a pee. I'll just say that much. And it was really kind of difficult. Anyway, I love doing the audio. I already recorded next week's audio to get ahead a little bit. So I'm just plugging away. I'm trying to think of a good blog to write. And after watching SmackDown tonight, I think I'm going to write about how they should just end the brand extension at this point because it's useless to have one. So.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I think we've been.
So.
Go ahead.
No, it's just been 9 years of the same. It doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't. So,
yeah, there's no reason why they just can't have all the stars on all the shows and do their best to keep different programs on different shows. If that makes
sense. You
don't
have to have all the stars on every show.
No, just rotate it.
Like this week was The Miz and John Cena. That was their big angle to end the show. How come they couldn't keep Hunter and Taker for SmackDown specifically this week?
Right.
Somebody, a writer, should be able to figure that out, right?
Yeah, that's what we were doing with Ring of Honor. Everybody wasn't on every show in every capacity, but we would try to kind of rotate it. So, like, all right, well, Roddy's working this week in a match, and next week of a promo, and then the third week there'll be a package. It just takes a little pre-planning, which they don't like to pre-plan a lot of stuff. So, I mean, it can be done.
Sure.
But I've been trying to, like, between that and writing about the failure that is the developmental system, and, you know, I'm trying to find a good blog. I haven't written a good blog in a while, so.
Well, like, in a few weeks, I'm sure we're supposed to have, like, another draft show here in the next couple of months. I mean, you know, we see everybody on every show. Is this going to be that big of a deal? No.
Well, and I bet you I could run down 10 guys, and you wouldn't know what brand they were on. You know what I mean? If I were to say Christian, what brand's he on? You know what I mean? Like, just run down a bunch. Okay, good. Okay, prove me wrong.
Yeah, crap on his
there was point. There was a point when MVP was there. I couldn't tell you what brand he was on because he moved back
and forth
so much. His name was Kennedy. He was on Raw two times. So,
Yoshitatsu.
I think he's on Raw. I had this discussion
with
somebody the other day how over Yoshitatsu was in ECW and how he's been in the witness protection program ever since. So,
The only reason I brought it up is because I just won him the other night on my Raw versus SmackDown 2011 game.
How is that game?
It's phenomenal.
I haven't played any since I wrote them. I think the last one I wrote was the one with they had like they first started having separate storylines. Like there was a Punk ECW storyline and all those. That was the last thing I did in the company.
This one's so great. When you're playing a ladder match, like you got a ladder set up and your opponent's reaching for the belt, you can take another ladder, lean it up against the other ladder, and run up the leaning ladder and clothesline the guy off of the top of the ladder. It's so
nice.
Awesome. Yeah. And if you're crafty enough to set a table up on the other side, money.
So you said you wrote the video game. How do you write a video game? What, do you just wrote the little dialogue between the little matches, or?
No, the storyline mode, when I got involved, like the last 3 years, I helped a guy by the name of Mike Archer, who is the most overworked and underappreciated man in that company, and with a lot of toy and video game stuff. Like I'd help pick out which figures would be cool, or approving model looks and all that stuff. And so one of the things was I would go to THQ 3-4 times a year and just kind of talk to whoever was kind of writing the game and help, you know, lead the storylines where they should. And it was after the, I don't know if you guys remember the Candice Michelle wand incident where she had a wand. She turned Edge into Trish Stratus, I think. At that point, somebody high up found out about it and needed one of us to approve everything that was going in the game. So I never liked the multiple storyline thing, because I remember Undertaker, I'll never forget, we were in Chicago and he was recording lines for the game. He comes up to me and goes, "Why would the Undertaker care if he's on the cover of a magazine?" I'm like, let me go look at this stuff. And like that, you know, they had written basically generic stories that the Undertaker, you know, it was Stevie Richards. It didn't matter who the characters were. So I pitched the idea of doing superstar specific stories. So like one, the Triple H story was, would he join Evolution or DX? You know what I mean? Like if the two factions came back, who would he side with? Like, so I thought that'd be an interesting storyline that we never got to do in WWE. And I think we did a MVP Cena storyline, which I don't think they ever did a story. You know, it was fun, and it was fun to kind of have a free range to kind of do stuff. So that's what I would do. I'd write the scenarios and then what people would play through and such. So
sounds like better stuff than they put on TV most of the time.
Yeah, you know.
Dave, we've been talking about The Rock pretty much the whole show, and we know you got to work with him a little bit. Could you just talk about your very first meeting with The Rock?
I don't know if it was the very first one, but I wrote about this on the site about a month ago. Rock used to call me Steve the whole time I worked there, and I didn't know if he was ribbing or not, and you didn't want to question it. I mean, so he's like, "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" I'm like, "I'm good," you know, and eventually it's The Rock, and he was always there like 2 months of the year. It's kind of like your uncle. It's like, all right, I guess I'll just go play along with it and such. So, but he was always really nice, and he was always he'd listen, you know, he was never an ego. I mean, he really, He knew it was good. He did what was good, and he was spectacular. I mean, has there ever been anything that The Rock has done that's been you've been like, oh God, that was horrible? I can't. I'm like, he might be the only guy. I mean, even Austin's had a couple stinkers. I mean, the heel turn is, you know, will stands out. But you know, I mean, Rock, it's just so hard. You know, he just seems like he's gold whatever he touches.
Well, he had pretty bad babyface promos when he first came out when he was the blue chipper.
Right. But yeah, but I mean, like once he became The Rock, it was on. You know what I mean? He grew into it, and you know, I think a lot of talents can learn a lot if they just look at how he committed and just. I mean, he can walk out there today, and I would say 70%, maybe 50 to 60% of the people that were in Anaheim had never seen him live, but they knew his shtick. You know what I mean? Like that's how over he was, and people just. It's simple. I mean, he didn't change. There's not much that's changing about The Rock. It's all the same catchphrases. He was consistent, and he had charisma. If you don't have charisma, you're not going to get anywhere. But so the last, and the little bit, the conclusion of the Steve story. I don't know if you guys remember the Goldberg Atlanta show where Rock made him look stupid, basically, where he chased Rock out of the building, and then his car wouldn't start, so he went on foot and chased after him. So, yeah, that was my...
The car wouldn't start, and then he ran after him. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was the shot. I didn't write it in the article, but that was the live shot that Rocky said, hey, listen, I know your name's Dave. I was doing that live shot. I didn't want to bring up the car stuff in the article. But, yeah, so, I mean, that was kind of really towards the end of his run because, I mean, that was his last really full-time match was against Goldberg. He did come back for that one match with Mick for that WrestleMania, but he made one Raw, you know what I mean? So, he's amazing. You know what I mean? I don't think – could you imagine what an impact he would have left on the business if he would have stayed? But – I actually want to ask you guys this. Do you think if he would have stayed, he would have had such an impact? Or do you think that him going away made him completely special?
It would have wind down. Cause I think with UFC kind of the boom, wrestling was going to start to go down regardless of even if Tim and Austin were still there just because of the UFC boom. But you know, I think if there'd still be it, they'd be doing higher rating than they are now.
Yeah,
I disagree. I really think it would have gotten old after a while, just like everything else. I mean, you know, when Sean went away and came back, like new life into his career, and I think people eventually would have got sick of The Rock. I mean, that sounds horrible to say, but I think it's true.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, breaks are good. I mean, I said this to somebody the other day. John Cena now has been the top babyface in the company since 2005, so it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
The combined time that John Cena, or the combined time that The Rock and Steve Austin were on top of the spot, combined. Think about
that.
Yeah,
people hate that man right now.
they're at a junction point with him. You know, Vince doesn't want to, you know, I used to hear it, I don't want to turn him because of the merchandise, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. If they don't turn him now, they can never turn him. This is the most I mean, I just watched SmackDown. He even mentioned The Rock. He even mentioned it. They didn't even show – they didn't even talk about that knockout punch. They literally picked it up right when he finished. So I don't know if they realize that he's burying himself. I have no idea, but I would turn him. What are they going to lose? I mean, it's – you know, Orton would be your number one, and I would double turn Miz too. I think he's actually getting to a point where people actually might like him. So, but
now regarding Cena, you always hear like Brian on his audio, he'll bitch about Cena not ad-libbing, that he's too much of a company man. He reads his lines, and he should be more like Austin in The Rock and do his own thing. I know you didn't work with The Rock a lot, but how was The Rock as far as his lines? His lines were scripted, and how much was just The Rock?
Rock, and from my understanding, John writes his own stuff. He really does, and there actually, if you Joe Schmo or Joe Franciosa or Christina, you're basically a typist. So, and I know when he works with Brian, he Gewirtz, he'll write stuff. And Rock was the same way. Rock is, I would say, 95% written. He may take a moment with stuff, you know, if the crowd reacts or whatever, and make more of it. But as far as what he was on the page, Rock was a very much a written animal. That's how what kind of performer he was. Steve Austin, though, improv guy. So I'd be curious, and again, I wasn't there when they worked together, so I don't know how a situation like that works. But I know Cena writes, is involved heavily in the stuff that it's not like he gets handed a script and he just goes off. And Rock's the same way. Rock's very collaborative with Brian, and Brian's very good, you know, with Rock. I mean, Rock's stuff is spectacular, but I don't know if that's just Rock adding in the stuff that makes it good, or if John's tastes are not spectacular. I know some people have issues with his gay innuendos and, you know, basically pointing out someone's gay and is that a bad thing or not. You know, so it's I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, but I know they, a lot of stuff is quote unquote written, but they both have a lot of participation in it.
Well, at least he's not calling anybody a strawberry. But
that's true.
But speaking of actually, I just forgot what I was about to say. Craig, why don't you go ahead and ask the question?
Wow, way to throw me off guard. Dave, did you have to, you know, either sit down with Rock and explain a storyline to him or anything like that? Any, like, just one-on-one kind of time with him?
No, I mean, it was very, again, because I was on SmackDown for most of my time, and even though he was the SmackDown guy, I think after remember the draft when he was drafted to SmackDown? I think he appeared on maybe like 5 SmackDowns before he went back to Raw. At the time, you know, when he was there, Heyman was there too. So, you know, I didn't deal much with, at the higher level with Rock, I didn't deal with him much. Again, just those little interactions. Okay, Rocky, we have this walk. No problem. We'll do it live. Like when he came back that first time in 2002 at that King of the Ring, he's like, yeah, I just want to do my stuff live. No problem. And the man says he wants to do it live. We'll do it live. He just, he likes live. I mean, he really does. And it's seeing him do that 7-minute on tape via satellite thing, you know, that's why he had to be so high energy, because he is just in his head feeding off the energy of the crowd, which the energy of the crowd didn't, I don't think, matched how he performed it. You know, I think he was a little higher than obviously the crowd there in Buffalo was, but he didn't have that feedback, so he was just kind of going on how it was, so... but no, I mean, he was always, and again, I'd say in my 6 years, I worked with him 6 months of those 6 years. That's how long he was there, so.
Gotcha.
Okay, Trey, do you have anything?
The John Cena stuff, it just sounds like when he does a promo, it sounds like a parody of what's supposed to be a promo, more than a promo itself. I don't know if you'd maybe agree with that or disagree.
When he's on, though, I mean, do you remember the speech he gave when he retired? You know, I thought that was balls on. You know what I mean? Like he when he's on, I mean, and the rap stuff. And I told this to Todd Martin this week when we had lunch. Like he was like, I don't know, the rap 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago was good. This one was bad. But if you go back and look at how he used to deliver the edgy stuff in 2003, he just delivered it different. This was just kind of like. The pacing was off, so you just didn't kind of believe it. Didn't feel as ill, like it didn't feel as mean spirited. Like he, I think he's afraid to commit to it, for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, he's making pearl necklace jokes and got fucking, you know, he's got a pinwheel. I mean, for God's sake, the fan brought a giant pinwheel. It like people want him to be edgy, and I don't know.
Really, the only funny line he got off was the T-shirt that says, I bring it by via satellite. That was about the only thing that was really funny in the whole promo.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. People love The Rock. People love The Rock. You know what I mean? So, all right, I think everyone understands that Rocky's above it. You know what I mean? Like, he came back. We never thought he'd come back. Now, if he was, you know, Austin, I felt like, came in and out too much in that 2003 to 2005 time. It felt like he was, you know, on off all the time. So you just kind of got used to him being there. But Rock's been gone really 8 years full time. So, you know, they're very more forgiving of him. All right, so he's on tape. Great, he's still on our TV show. We love him. You know, like that's – all right, John Cena, you make jokes that none of us seem to get. So, I mean, that's kind of where it's
at. You know, the whole thing that started about Rock leaving, saying he loved WWE, but he left it. I mean, it's just, I've been hearing fans say stuff like that, and I mean, it's just so ridiculous to me. You know, I mean, just the guy left, the guy really had nothing more to do in the business, so, and went to, you know, was able to get out of the business and go to something even better. So, I mean, I don't know why anybody's mad at him about that, unless you're just selfish.
I think he left the business when he was 31, maybe?
Yeah.
How old is he, 38 now? I mean, maybe so he was 30. Think about that. I always figured if there was ever going to be a big run by another company, they, you know, and I didn't think his movie career would be as successful. And in reality, he hasn't had that blow-away big movie, but he's been solid. You know what I mean? Like, he's never had the $400 million hit. I may be wrong, but I don't think it. I think he's never had – but he's become a solid performer, which is a credit to him that he keeps picking projects that don't – he doesn't lose his shirt. He's not – I mean, if you had to pick Nick Cage or The Rock right now, I mean, I think I'd pick The Rock as far as somebody that I'd want to see a movie in. I don't like to drive angry. I like to drive mildly. So,
sure.
But I mean, it's – I always figured it's like 8 years after he left, some billionaire would throw him $5 million a year to wrestle 20 times. You know, the Hogan deal that Hogan got in the mid-90s and opened a wrestling promotion. You know, thankfully he stayed with Vince and nobody ever did that because I'm not saying that he should have went to TNA. But, you know, Rock was the only game changer. I mean, do you think if John Cena left WWE today and went to TNA, it would be a game changer?
No, nobody going to TNA would be a game changer.
But Rock would. I think Rock would.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, Steve might, you know, but the problem is with Steve is Steve can't wrestle. I think everyone knows Steve can't wrestle. Now, if Rock, we still, that's the kind of hinge point on this where everyone's wondering, will Rock wrestle again? And I think there'll be a disappointment after all this if he doesn't wrestle a match within 1 year. I think then the bloom will be off the rose completely with him. If he doesn't
Hopefully it'll be at WrestleMania in Miami next year.
Yeah, I think that even if it was a tag, I think people would accept it. You know what I mean? Like, I think even if he didn't have the great one-on-one match, but I think before you guys, I listened to before, he doesn't do anything spectacularly dangerous in any of his matches. You know what I mean? It's not like he wrestles a style that – he wrestles very much a 50-year-old, not old-timer, but, you know, safe style. You know what I mean? Like a 50-year-old Ric Flair type of style, although without the less blood. But – you know, I think that'd be great. I think, you know, I guarantee you he's going to the Hall of Fame next year. He has to. Like, there's no,
right.
I can't point to anything other than he's going, you know, because, I mean, everyone thought WrestleMania was going to Toronto, and then, boom, it just shifted. And, you know, Miami's interesting. They're going to have, outdoors is very scary. I mean, they spent a lot of money on that contraption that went over the ring and, in Orlando, and I remember them.
Right.
That was right before I was shown the door. I remember just see like that. They didn't make a lot of money on that WrestleMania simply because it was outside, and they had built this giant structure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be curious to see if they do that again. You know, an outdoor show is dangerous. It could rain. I mean, it rained at the. Were you guys at the one in Florida? I know Brian was.
I was.
And it rained, right? The first match.
Yeah, it's so. It rained probably. It sprinkled probably a good half the show. But yeah, there were people in ponchos most of the opening few matches.
Yeah.
In fact, we were sitting two rows in front of where the streamer gimmick fell down on the fans.
Ooh, I remember that with the fireworks at the
end,
right?
Yeah, the fireworks streamer deal. Yeah.
The mysterious YouTube disappeared in the. And
right.
No one was ever heard from of suing.
That's the one.
Yeah, I don't like. I'm like I had the choice this year. Obviously I'll be in Atlanta for the ROH shows. You know, staying or not. But I'm like, you know what? I like watching it on TV. You know, so I'm flying home Sunday morning, just because I like the show. I like to be able to watch it on TV. So I'm gonna go. I have a couple really big wrestling fans out here. And actually, I'll be watching it with two guys and a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. So,
sweet. Oh, yeah.
She's a giant wrestling fan. So I think I'm going to start doing video podcasts with her, just reviewing Raw in the uniform if I could talk her into it. So,
That'll probably be your most downloaded show ever.
Exactly. That'll be the only video podcast, and it'll just be on her. No one needs to ever see me.
Right. You could just be the mysterious voice in the background, like the Almighty.
I'm very fine with that. So are you all coming to Atlanta, or which of the teams?
Me and Craig are.
Yeah, I haven't missed one for the last 4 years or 3 years. I'm sorry.
That's good. Yeah, I'll be there. The pay-per-views will be my little fun. I'm flying in Friday morning and then out Saturday morning. I was gonna take the red eye. I'm just like, you know what? I didn't want to fly Delta. I'm an American guy, so I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sitting in the middle seat between people. So.
Right. I understand.
So, are you guys coming to the ROH shows or?
Yes.
Yeah, we got a 4-pro ticket.
Yeah, we're still that.
Last year they gave us front row, but this year they only gave us 4-pro. But I guess at the center stage, 4-pro is actually probably better.
4-pro is, I think, eye level with the ring. I mean, the building's small. I looked at some pictures today. I'm really interested to see how this goes. I'm just gonna, you know, I think the shows will be great. I think the price point's spectacular for everybody. And the nice part of it is. You know, you buy both shows, and you don't even need to, like, if you're gonna be at Mania, you still can come home the next, you know, and watch them that week. The price point will stay the same. You know, I did this. You know, I was very happy with the 9th anniversary shows. I thought those turned out technically really good. We learned a lot. So, you know, these will be equally as good, and I think they'll be really good shows. I mean, when I heard we were doing the Wolves against Haas and Benjamin, I was like, okay, I'm good. You know, that's a match that I'm really excited to see, and you know that on Saturday alone will be awesome. So,
the center stage, do they actually have like a riser in the center of the theater? I guess it would be. Is there an actual elevated stage on the floor?
I think not. I think the way it is, and I've never been in there, but from what Dusty used to tell me was they just have scaffolding. Because remember, they used to come up that hallway, and they're used to just where they would do the interviews was against the back wall of the theater on the stage. From looking at the pictures recently, it just seems like it's basically a three-quarters thing, and the stage is where they used to have the hard cameras on a riser, basically. I guess is that what you're saying? We usually have a scaffolding that we bring, so I assume we'll have that, like we have it in Chicago and all that all the time. So I assume that's how it will work. The only reason
I ask is we went to the Dragon Gate show last year, and the stage that the ring was set up on, when you were in the front row, you actually couldn't see the guys running the ropes on the opposite side of the ring, and you were missing about half the action, and it sucked.
You couldn't see below the bottom rope the whole. If they were doing any mat work, you couldn't see it. And we paid $80 for those tickets. $80 for those tickets, and the guy next to me paid $20 because there was nobody at the show, so he just moved up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I assume because the way that building was, and it's, you know, it did wrestling for how many years they did it, I think it will be fine. I mean, unless they add it to the stage. But that's definitely a question I want to bring up. And I actually want to try and add an extra camera for that show, so we'll see how we do. But the Go Fight Live people have been great. You know, I think these have really opened. I mean, I was blown away by the number we did, like 1,500 for our weakest build for any of those shows. Just shows that people are, I think, comfortable with the technology. And, you know, I think it's nice because, what you know, you guys have been to those ROH shows. The Friday show is just kind of like the kickoff of this great wrestling weekend.
Yeah.
It's really the first wrestling. And then Saturday, you know, Saturday before the Hall of Fame, it's just you get in the mood, and it's a big weekend. And, you know, those were always my favorites. I always look back at that WrestleMania 2000 when they had the all-day-long thing, and that was my favorite WrestleMania because it was just looking back at all those WrestleMania stuff. So I'm really excited.
That's probably a highlight of both trips for me the past few years is just the two ROH shows. But I wanted to ask you, since you're a good friend to the show here, if I take a voice recorder, do I get like full access behind the scenes to the two shows in Atlanta?
Say no.
You have to see Sid, and you may have to pay a little extra.
Don't let Ed back there unless you want drugs in the locker room.
There's never mind.
Are you saying that Ed does drugs?
Yes. His grandma, Brian's grandmother even said that.
That's a rumor. That's a rumor.
I've seen it firsthand before. It's proof.
Wow. Well, Granny. Well, Granny would never be caught dead with drugs. So, but apparently, Mike Sempervivi just called me a dirty audio whore because I'm on your show, which is horrible.
If anyone's an audio whore, it's Shep. God damn it! But
I know.
Dave, we've been playing some clips throughout the show, and you've kind of enjoyed the last few ones that we did. So we got our last one. If you'd like to listen to it, and we get your opinion
on it.
So we'll go ahead and start. This is probably one of my two favorite rock promos of all time.
Finally, the Rock has come back to Tehran.
My question is,
Tehran.
He's almost there.
Tehran his mouth on all your candy asses.
It's a lot of candy asses out there, JR. Thousands of them.
Well, yeah, the Rock is on Raw.
SmackDown, number one draft pick. Several moons ago. Maybe if these Canucks will shut up and let him explain, maybe he'll tell us why he's here on Raw.
Whoa. Now, don't start chanting Rocky yet. You got to hear what the Rock is going to say, and then you decide whether you're going to chant Rocky or not.
There you go. Fair
oh,
hand.
Yeah. Big surprise. The Rock right here on Raw. Why? The Rock will tell you why. I'll tell you why, because see, last night at No Way Out, The Rock did Vince McMahon a favor, and he whooped that red and yellow candy ass.
These people are in denial.
And then, Vince McMahon did The Rock a favor. He said, Rock, you can go wherever you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do. So The Rock said he wanted to go live Monday night on Raw. More importantly than that, The Rock said he wanted to come right here to Toronto, Canada.
And Rock sucking up in the crowd, if you ask me.
And then The Rock said, wait a minute, are you kidding The Rock? Are you kidding The Rock? What, is this the first time you've ever heard someone mention your city? Is that it? Oh, yay! Hooray! That Toronto! Yay! Yay! That's where we live. We live in Toronto. Yay! Shut up!
Well, sometimes we're not allowed to cheer about living here in Toronto. Why? Beg your pardon.
Hey, see, The Rock wanted to come right here to Toronto because, you see, it was here in Toronto that it all started.
What started? I don't know.
Yeah, The Rock didn't forget. The Rock didn't forget because, you see, the biggest travesty in the history of the industry. It was here in Toronto that the people turned on the people's champion.
Ah, what do you mean by that? What do you mean, what do you mean by that?
Oh, no, don't, no, we didn't, Rock, no, we, oh, yes, you did. Oh, The Rock, yes, you did, baby, yes, you did. Last year, WrestleMania, 68,000 strong. 68,000 of you mother Canuckers booing The Rock out of the building.
Mother Canuckers! The mother Canuckers, they are!
Oh, that's totally disrespectful.
I knew they were!
And uncalled for, quite frankly.
Don't be a mother Canucker.
But he's accurate, as far as the booing. They were cheering for Hogan at WrestleMania. He's wrong about that.
He's doing it again!
Now, let me just help you out, Canadians. You see, I understand. This is Raw. Hogan's on SmackDown. Hogan's not here. We understand that. Okay. Now, so what did you think? Did you actually think that The Rock was just going to forget? Is that what you thought? That The Rock was just going to forget? That The Rock was just going to let it slide? Is that what you think? It doesn't matter what you people think. Oh, now, you don't boo The Rock, are you, fatty? The Rock gets more pie in a week than you get in a lifetime.
I've never had pie.
But there's one thing that bothered The Rock more than that. It was that Raw's 10th anniversary that the people did not vote for The Rock to be superstar of the decade.
Ooh.
Actually, Austin's accolade. Another slap in the face to the great one.
You voted for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. The Rock knows everybody loves Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. Everybody loves Stone Cold. Yeah. Yeah, well, The Rock doesn't love Stone Cold. The Rock doesn't love Stone Cold. As a matter of fact, Stone Cold Steve Austin is nothing. And The Rock means nothing compared.
Don't do that.
Compared to The Rock. No. You see, there's only one true superstar of the decade, true superstar of the millennium. You know who that is? The Rock will tell you who that is. Toronto, that is the jabroni beaten now, pie eating, trailblazing, eyebrow raising, stronger than a bear, faster than a buck, the biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
Go!
What did you think about that, Dave?
That wasn't very nice. The Maple Leafs have sucked for a long time, hockey fans. It's funny that you played that one because I always point to, if you remember the WrestleMania that Austin Rock thing, that was the lowest buy rate of a WrestleMania probably up until what this year would have been, because I feel like they blew their Hogan, Rock, Steve, all at the same No Way Out show. That No Way Out show, I think, did 450,000 buys, and WrestleMania ended up doing 550, which domestically, you know, was pretty good at the time. Can you imagine if they would have held it off and done Hogan Rock 2 at the actual WrestleMania and done, you know, they could have done Steven Bischoff. And I think, you know, Steve got kind of rushed back in anyway, and I think we knew Steve wasn't going to wrestle again, so... I think Steve wanted to have the match with The Rock. But, I mean, that was a great night. If you go back and look in history, I think Rock was in a battle royal that same night and got out of the match and did commentary in the middle of the battle royal, too. There was a lot of really good stuff. I think did Booker win? Or I think that might have been
Booker
battle royal
won.
Booker won to set up that WrestleMania match with Triple H. But that was a pretty – I remember that because – Because we did No Way Out on Sunday, and then, you know, Toronto. I'm trying to remember if that was a trip. I once had to ride the bus from Montreal to Toronto. I might have been on that trip. I don't remember exactly. But that's a pretty historic time. Actually, I think I had taken over SmackDown that weekend. I was just talking to Paul Heyman about that, about when Paul was sent home the first time and I took over SmackDown. I think it was that weekend, ironically enough. But Rock's amazing. That promo... But you know what's good about him as a heel? He spoke the truth. You know what I mean? There was not one bit of that promo that wasn't the truth. People did boo him. He was upset about it. You know what I mean? There wasn't some concocted storyline that, you know, someone stole a luau pig and, you know, I mean, it was a very true story. And so he could emote that very well, and we all could understand it. So.
I mean, remember what great color man that Jerry Lawler was back then.
Yeah, I mean, Lawler, when he's playing on stuff, and you could just see what did you hear JR basically undercut The Rock's promo when he brought up Austin won the award before Rock did? They used to drive people crazy. Like, JR felt like he had to fill all the holes, and little comments would just kill what the guys were about to say. So.
You know, Brian has always told me that they will never, ever run another WrestleMania in Seattle because Vince blames the low buy rate on our town.
No.
I swear to God, that's what
No,
Brian
that was the war. That was they used the war as the reason as why that was a low buy rate. But, you know, you can blame Brian if you want. I don't know if that'll help. But I think
maybe
Seattle was hard. So.
Maybe it's because Brent Graham got that press conference canceled. That's why they didn't come back.
Don't get me started on that again.
Awesome. I love that's my. You know what's funny is that's my favorite That's my favorite WrestleMania. I actually was just on John Pollock's show talking about that one because I love the way the building looked. I loved a lot of the I think that, like, think about this. Undertaker didn't have a great blow-away match, and Triple H didn't have a great blow-away match, but there was so much from that show. You remember Shawn. It was Shawn's first WrestleMania match back with Jericho. It was Ray's first WrestleMania with Matt Hardy. What else is in that one? Hogan and Vince and Brock and Angle and Steve and The Rock. You know what I mean? There was a lot of just memorable stuff on that show. And, you know, and there's a lot of very strange backstage stuff that went on. If you've seen the documentary of that WrestleMania, it's there are a lot of, you know, a lot of different stories going on. And we stayed at the Grand Hyatt right there in Seattle, which is one of my favorite hotels I've ever stayed in. So,
well, for the people who haven't seen it, because I haven't seen it, could you, like, tell us one of these crazy stories, or is there any that you can tell?
No, I mean, it's in the document. If you get the WrestleMania 20 DVD, it's called The Mania Behind Mania. You know, it shows the interview that sent Austin into cardiac, I don't know if it was cardiac arrest, but, you know, it sent Austin to the hospital the day of the match, which I remember, you know, we were alerted to. I don't know if we had a backup plan or what we would have ended up doing with Rock that day if Steve couldn't have gone, you know, if he was able to wrestle. You know, Kurt Angle wrestling with a broken neck. If you remember or don't remember, Kurt had had to go off and get neck fusion, but he decided to not and risk and to do WrestleMania, and then he went and got the Dr. Joe surgery after, and he was out for 2 months. I'm trying to think what else was on that one. But there's just a lot of really interesting stuff. You know, Vince and Hogan should have been a much bigger deal. I don't know why. I don't know if it didn't resonate or what, but it's just, you know, I felt like everything on that WrestleMania I always look back to fondly, and it didn't draw big business, and I'm not sure why.
Oddly enough, Brock Lesnar was in town a couple of days before, and me and one of my Mark buddies went and saw him signing at, of all places, a Safeway. And I was just down the street from my place, so we went up there and had some 8x10s for Lesnar to sign, and he was being the biggest douche on the face of the earth, probably, you know, because he might be. And he got an 8x10 promo to sign, and he pushed it out of the way. He said, no, I'll sign one of these for you. And he got like a generic Safeway flyer that they posted up in the store and signed it and gave it to me. And I was kind of pissed, and I said, please be careful with Kurt's neck. And as I walked off, you could hear, F you, kid. Yeah.
Nice.
That's,
I think you said the same thing.
Do you think that with WrestleMania has mainly become a stadium show, do you think, like, for WrestleMania 30, they'll still go back to Madison Square Garden?
Yes, I think they will. I think there's no doubt that they will be at the Garden. I think it means the world to Vince to have it there every 10 years. If precedent set it alone, next year's 29 or 28?
28.
29.
29?
Wait a minute.
Look at us. We're four relatively educated human beings and can't figure out what WrestleMania is.
Well,
I'm not even trying yet.
Okay. It's WrestleMania 4. They're going to have a big tournament. I definitely think they'll go back to the Garden because he can charge exorbitant ticket prices for that one. You know what I mean? Like, what's the cheapest ticket? And this one's probably like $20. But, you know, for the Garden, he could charge $150 for the cheap seats, and he knows those will sell.
Plus, there's always a great atmosphere there.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a special thing. I mean, it really is. I mean, heck, they're running there on Sunday. Next Saturday when ROH is running, we move the show to 4:00 because they're running, and UFC, and, oh, by the way, the NCAA tournament, and I think there's an all-night gas station, too, that's opening up, so. But, yeah, no, I think it'll be, that might be when I go back to WrestleMania. You know, I've the last couple of years I haven't gone. I almost went to this one. You know, I mean, you know, maybe by WrestleMania 30, Tyler Black will be in the main event or something. I'll go. So,
or Daniel Bryan. I wanted to ask you, you brought up Kurt Angle, and everyone's heard the stories about when he left. And just, did you ever notice Angle being wacky backstage?
No, I mean it was. I mean he was on ECW, and Paul and I were dealing with him, but he dealt with Vince on a lot of stuff, and that. you know, the day of that meeting, you know, we weren't even really, I mean, he had been, I don't know if he was, did he have a suspension? I don't remember if he had one or not, but I remember he had been out hurt and stuff. So, I mean, he wasn't 100%. I think the company did the right thing at the time. So, and I think he will say the company did the right thing. And I know he just recently said he'd never go back. But, you know, never in wrestling lasts about 2 years. So.
Cool. Well, we'll go ahead and start to wrap up here. I want to get outside that real quick. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Katrina, go ahead.
Pro Wrestling Flashback this Thursday, or it may be early Friday morning. We did a show early this morning at 12:30 a.m. We just finished covering WCW 1997, and we're moving on to WCW 1998 next week. So that should be fun. It's usually on Thursday nights, late night. So just check the board or go to what's our URL here? BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrere. That's me. Okay.
Yeah, it sucks that I can't use my original one anymore, those bastards.
Well, you do. I'm
anyway.
Playing the speed, so just tough shit.
Okay, that's why I'm not complaining.
Did they take it from you? I don't understand what happened. I feel like
no,
actually,
they decided that to get like a, to have your show last 2 hours and to have it on prime time, like on our prime time hours, that you have to be a premium member and pay like $40 a month. So,
that's no fun.
Kind of ridiculous. But anyway, we actually have a caller who popped up on the line here, so I'll go ahead and take it before we go. Caller calling from area code 302. Who's this?
You know, the 302 area code would be the Briscoe's area code, and I just checked my Briscoe decoder watch, and you still have 15 minutes of show left, and you haven't even... Why are you trying to wrap it up now?
Big of whores.
Because I figured we could get our last few questions in, and we'd be wrapping up right on time. So
it just got slutty in here.
Okay.
That's a gangbang of awesome.
Since you took the time to be an audio whore and call into our show, we'll go ahead and allow you to ask a question to Dave Lagana.
I don't know this Dave Lagana, but, you know, I have a legitimate WrestleMania question to ask, actually.
Go for it.
Sure, go ahead.
I don't have an answer.
It's actually not a very good one, but it's actually Acapono in the Big Show. Now,
yes, you can blame me. I'll just say that right now. You can blame me.
No, I actually don't want to, because I know this was at the time they wanted to open up the offices and they were serious about we're going to go here and go here and go here. As far as how that whole thing came to be, and just because I actually was greatly amused by it. I mean, for what it was, the Big Show in the Mawashi with that look on his face was tremendous. But as far as the everything that kind of went around that, what was the general feeling? Because obviously most Americans had no idea what was going on.
I don't remember where I think it was kind of like they had, you know, interest was from both sides on Acapono. Would we want to use him? And so we pitched. The Big Show was coming off not, and he had been a very pushed attraction on SmackDown at the time, and he needed something for WrestleMania. So we pitched the idea of the sumo match. And I remember Michael Hayes thinking it was the end of the world. And I still remember to this. And you know what? It wasn't spectacular, but for that WrestleMania, it was different. And it really kind of, you know, if we would have done Big Show versus Acapono in a wrestling match, I mean, he hadn't even trained at that point. So, but I remember the SmackDown before WrestleMania, Acapono was on the show and we did the weigh-in. And he had a match. And I went back and the minute by minutes on Acapono's match, they went up so much. At that time, I had not seen anything in a very, very long time as far as a segment peaking, because people had been flipping around or whatever and saw this new giant, and people were interested. It was like that. I think it was like a 4-minute segment, and the minute by minutes went up progressively very much every minute, like to the point where it was really intriguing. But the match was what it was, and it obviously didn't lead anywhere. And he ended up – I mean, how much later did he end up going to All Japan? It was a couple of years, right?
Yeah, actually, because they were still trying to do the MMA thing with him and letting him get, you know, beaten into the ground for TV ratings, which I guess was beneficial to both sides.
Now, was he doing MMA at the time of that WrestleMania? I don't remember.
I think he had already had the match with Sapp on New Year's Eve, and I think he may have had, I'm not sure if he had another one or not, or if he may not have, because the star, I remember, was still massively huge.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember that much from that. That was a very tumultuous time in my life, and Akebono trivia has kind of been pushed out of my head. So.
Well, because of the minute by minute, too, I mean, just Bob Sapp, I know, was always in negotiations, and there was always a want to get him, but was there ever, WrestleMania being such a close type of thing, was there ever any time where it was close to bring in another foreign guy for whatever reason just to do it, or a plan or something like that around that time?
Not around WrestleMania. I remember that I had very light discussions with Johnny about using Kobashi to work with Benoit once. It was right around, it was around a Survivor Series, and I remember pitched it, and Vince was like, who? And I went, all right, never mind. And it just was like, because Johnny obviously knew him, and I don't know if it was before or after he had worked with Joe in the States, but Johnny was like, oh, yeah, you know, Kobashi was open to maybe doing some things. And I was like, oh, I think people would really like to see it. Even if it was a 12-minute match on a pay-per-view, you know, and it was a Survivor Series, and it was around when Benoit and Booker did that Best of Seven again. It was before that. Was the idea to do it kind of like where Booker brings in this Japanese guy, you know, you could say it was from Benoit's past. I thought that would have been cool. And it was pitched, Johnny was behind it, and then Vince just didn't it didn't go anywhere. That's the only time I can remember an outside guy like that just being discussed for a one-off. And, you know, there were – I can't remember. Thank God I'm not going to write a book because I can't remember anything right now. it would be a horrible book. I don't remember this time period.
Brian,
no, but I mean –
Brian did one.
Brian did do one. I asked him about it on the show that Ed boycotted.
His memory sucks. So, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. that's the only one that I could think of top of my head, so –
Well, see, I didn't even insult Ed at any point in this phone call either.
There's still time.
That's true. Well,
you got 8 minutes, I'll go ahead and give you the floor and go ahead and keep asking questions if you want.
It's intriguing.
We talked a little hockey before, Mike. We were talking about how the Maple Leafs have sucked since 2000 and whatever, so...
Yeah, I heard that. You know, you don't always have to point that out when I do a show with a guy who likes to rub in the whole Montreal Canadiens thing nonstop. Very, very painful.
They're not good either, are they? When's the last time the Canadiens were really good?
Well, they choked out last year. They were supposed to be really good 2 years ago, and they ended up, that was going to be their 100th season, and they were going to win the Stanley Cup, and they choked and died painfully, which was quite amusing to everyone, you know, not in Quebec.
I did a Twitter hookup with Mike and my friend Missy, who's really hot and likes hockey. So,
that's where you make fine audio.
Yes.
I'm glad there's two people in this world who actually like hockey. At least somebody does.
I'm tolerant of hockey. I like hockey playoffs. This point's just kind of just foreplay.
There ain't nothing better than watching hockey live.
Oh, no, I agree.
That's
the best live
sport. That's awesome.
It's not a great TV sport. It's a great live sport.
Yeah.
You can't take your eyes off of it.
Being in L.A. right now, with the Kings being young and trying to be good again, I mean, is there any buzz out there in that city at all?
No. It's a Lakers town. I keep the ESPN station on. They talk Lakers the whole day. I don't think they ever talk to Kings, ever.
Lakers. Hit my ass.
Oh! Yeah,
Spurs. Ooh. I'm a fanboy for the Spurs.
Yeah. We just gave him a little ray of hope by letting him beat us the last game. We took a day off.
Shut up.
We already beat him twice this year, though.
We had a 25-year drought between championships, and it'll probably be 25 more before anything from Philadelphia wins anything.
I really don't want to hear it. I live in Seattle.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Y'all in here. Keep y'all's team.
Yeah. What, 72 Sonics, I think, were the last team to ever go to a championship around here. Maybe 76, something like that.
And then they moved.
Oklahoma of all cities. That's just the embarrassing deal. I mean, Oklahoma, what the fuck is in Oklahoma besides the basketball?
JR.
They really missed the boat by not calling that team the Bombers. But
Yeah, that'd been good.
That's awesome.
That's classic.
Spot on. Yeah. Fucking classic.
And that's the religious guy who made that joke. Wow.
So, Mike, are you going to WrestleMania or are you not?
I am not going to WrestleMania, no. I'm actually just trying to figure out a way I'm going to get to those New Japan shows that are going to be taking place. I do want to try to get to those that are coming up here.
Hey, Mike, what's the deal? You don't go to the WrestleMania. You don't go to Vegas. I mean, you're like a part of the website. Why don't you actually get off your butt and come and have a vacation and come hang out?
Because some people want to retire early, I can tell you that, so I can actually just run my mouth and not have to worry about, like, going to work around it. That's why I'm working so hard. Now, plus, I am raising children, which, you know.
Oh, God. When's the Vegas show this year?
It's the last weekend in May, Memorial Weekend.
Okay. I might actually go this year. I might actually
There's actually just been added a wedding reception. My former co-host had got married earlier this year, and since he met his wife at the Vegas convention last year at a bar, they're actually going to have a wedding reception Sunday night at the Venetian with an open bar. So everybody needs to come to Vegas and come to the party.
Yeah. He bought the $40 dance. He bought the $40 dance, and he was been in love ever since.
Hey, if he goes to this and actually gives a good report on it, then I may actually go to the next one. But it's something about hanging out with people from the board that I got to be honest, a little bit scary.
Hey,
Mike's like me. He enjoys hanging out with you on the board and doing radio shows. He has no desire to meet any of you. He's like me.
Yeah.
No, Dewey Beach, or you can come to Delaware. And I'll meet you somewhere in a public location. I don't know around all of you. Like, it's like my body will be found again if you just decide to cover up the story.
Hey, I ain't gonna argue with you. There's been a couple of cats that really have stalked Brian Alvarez the last couple of years where we've been.
Where the WrestleMania trips. The Vegas crew is usually more laid back and not starstruck. But yeah, that one weirdo last year, that was fucking scary, dude. I thought he was
this
trans
cat,
Brian.
This cat came up to us and he said, "Hey, this is Brian, how's it going? Blah blah blah. I live here in the city. This, that, and the other thing. We got our bite to eat. We pull out of the parking lot. He's right behind us and he pulls up next to us as Rodney's driving and he goes, "Hey, can I follow you guys? I'm not sure where I'm going." And I leaned over and I said, "You live here." And he got this blank expression on his face for a minute, realizing that he had been caught, and said, "Well, I don't know this area that well." And he followed us and followed us and followed us.
He was looking at Brian with, like, freaking Google eyes the whole time. And then anytime Brian took his attention away from him, this guy had this look of, like, great sadness. It was...
Wait, this guy's on the board? I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know.
And just think, that one's not Jazz.
I know I have my fans on the board, so I can't wait to meet a couple of those. So.
Well, you'll get to meet some in Atlanta in a few months, I'm sure. But we got one minute to go now. So, Dave, why don't you go ahead and plug your website and anything that's coming up.
Sure, iwantwrestling.com, Twitter's @Lagana. We got the New York ROH show. There's about 200 tickets left. If you're in the New York area, come check out ROH next Saturday at 4 p.m. And then the ROH show's WrestleMania weekend. iPay-per-view, gofightlive.tv. Have all the details. $19.99, cool. it's like a trip to Sizzler.
Cool. And We still have a few minutes here, so Shep, I'll be nice and I'll let you go ahead and plug your show and that other crappy show you do with Brian Alvarez.
Oh yeah, so like Big Audio Nightmare, find it at WrestlingObserver.com, and of course the all powerful operating out of Ron Barr's mother's basement somewhere in California, Sports Byline USA presents to you Wrestling Observer Worldwide. Wow, they changed the name of the show on us without even telling us. But yeah,
did they really change the name of the show?
Yeah.
I haven't listened in I don't know how long.
Well, Brian forgets to put them up on the site.
Well, that's true, too. Contreras, we do got to do a Mid-South UWF show. And Dave, I look forward to talking to you very soon as well.
I'll have three shows.
That's... I want to talk about UHF channels in Philadelphia and growing up in the 80s, since we're about the same age, and I had the pleasure of being able to do it in Baltimore and Washington for that. I think that would make a good show, too. Your influence
channel 57,
from there.
17-29-57.
Am I right? Yeah, a good day in where I was in between Baltimore and Washington, we would actually get 57, which would make on Saturday and Sunday about 7 million hours of wrestling programming, which is was just
UWF
wonderful.
UWF has done that. UWF and World Class on 57. So I think we've officially put the world to sleep.
Yeah, and right when we went off on our live feed, too, so perfect timing. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. And I'm not sure what we're doing. We got Brian Fritz. Brian Fritz from Between the Ropes will be on the show next week. So everybody.
Like Brian Fritz.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. And he'll be at WrestleMania. And actually, Brian is the one that introduced me to you this past year in Phoenix.
Yep.
Where I think I got to talk to you for like 5 seconds. But hopefully we'll get to talk a little longer. But
everybody has come back next week. 11 seconds.
Cool. Cool. Everybody come back next week, and we'll talk to everybody then.
Bye.